Let's continue on our series in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Gemara says there are three things. I'm really sorry. I'm really not feeling well. The Gemara says there are three things: Hilchos Shabbos, Chagigos, VaHameilos. The Gemara says Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Chagiga, and HaMe'ilos, all the halachas of Me'ila, Hareim ki Hararim Hatluyim Besara. They are all considered like big mountains that are hanging on a little string. Shehem Mikra Muad Ba'alachas Merubas. What do you have in the Torah that tells you about Hilchos Shabbos? Very little. The Torah really does not outline the Lamatas Abbas Malachas, doesn't tell us anything. Everything is really halach l'moshe misinai. So it's as if you have this huge mountain that's just hanging on a very thin string. So when we go and we try to begin with the understanding of Hilchos Shabbos, it seems that every week we certainly are learning, hopefully, more and more about Shabbos that we never knew about. So that's what I feel like. That's what the Gemara says, that the whole Hilchos Shabbos is one big mountain that's hanging on a string, and we never knew about all these hidden secrets about Hilchos Shabbos. So let's begin. You're wondering why the source sheet has so many things. So another comment that I got from somebody else was that, you know, you don't give us enough sources. We should really have homework that after we leave the shir, you should give us more that we should do. So what my hope is, okay, I'm trying to take everyone seriously. So my hope is that we are not going to cover everything on this page today, and you'll have some homework. You'll go through some of it this evening or tomorrow, later in the week, if you are interested in looking further into the issue. So the Gemara says, let's begin with a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Tesamid Beis, where the Gemara tells us, where do we learn out? What's the origin for all the Hilchos Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Hadar Yasim Vekami Barlehu. They ask the million-dollar question, Hadar Tnan, Avos Malachos Abraham Cheser Achas Keneged Mi. We all know there are Lamatas Avos Malachos, but ask the Gemara, where do we get that assumption from? Where does it come, the idea that there are Lamatas Avos Malachos? Amar Lehu Reb Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. Famous answer, we know, Lamatas Avos Malachos are Keneged all the Avodas that were done in the Mishkan. Tonight's Shir is going to be about how exactly we learned it out of the Mishkan, which we'll see much later on in the Shir. Says the Gemara, Amar Lehu Reb Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. It's Keneged, the Avod in the Mishkan. Rashi says, we all know, I don't know how we know this, but Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai is that there were Lamatas Malachas that were done in order to construct the Mishkan. Therefore, that's how we learn that there's a parallel to Hilchos Shabbos, that there are also Lamatas Avos Malachas on Shabbos. The Medrash writes a little bit of a different spin-off on that. How do we know Lamatas from the Mishkan? So the Medrash, well, if you look through the Parsha, when it tells us about the mitzvah of building a Mishkan, so the Parsha says 39 times it's tzivui of going to build a Mishkan. Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, you see from there, from the fact that the Torah has to reiterate 39 different times that you have a mitzvah to go and build a Mishkan, that's what we learn it from. So whether you learn like Rashi, whether you learn like the Medrash, either way the Gemara assumes we learn it from the Mishkan. Now, says the Gemara, Amar Reb Shimon Bar Yosi Ben Lakunya, Keneged Melacha Melachto Umelechas Shebatorah, Abraham Chasarachas. We don't learn it from the fact that we know that there were 39 malachas that were necessary to construct the Mishkan. No, says the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Lakunya is of the opinion that we learn it from the fact that it says the word in the Torah, malacha, malachto, and malachas 39 times. From the fact that we have that configuration of words 39 times, that tells us that there are 39 avos malachas. Now, the Rishonim over there discuss. So what, Reb Yossi ben Lakunya is of the opinion that we don't learn? Reb Shimon ben Yossi ben Lakunya, yeah. He's of the opinion that we don't learn from the Mishkan. We've all been brought up. 39 Avos Malachos are all learned out from the Mishkan. Now Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya is throwing us for a loop. Is that really true? So the Ramban is part of the homework. You'll read the Ramban on your own. The Ramban says that that basically everyone agrees that we learn from the Mishkan. And the question is, what came first? Did the Chachamim first make up the categories of Avos Malachos and then said, oh, happens to be that we found the same thing in the Mishkan? Is that what it is? Or do we hold like the Tanakhama that no, they first learned from the Mishkan and that's how they extrapolated to Hilchos Shabbos? Either way that you learn, we assume that there is a very strong connection between the Lamatas Avos Malachos and all the Malachos that were necessary to construct the Mishkan. So now let's look at a Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Samach Tesem and Beis. And this Gemara in Shabbos was pretty boring till last night when I found something that was absolutely amazing. So the Gemara says, in Shabbos Taf Samach Tesem and Beis, let's first read the Gemara. And then we'll go into the very interesting discussion that comes from this Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Hayamahalach Bamidbar. Let's say you have somebody, a very unusual case, and never happens to us, I would assume. Hayamahalach Bamidbar V'en Yodei Emasai Shabbos. I'm walking through the desert, I have no idea, I lost track in time, I lost my way, I don't know how to get out. Says the Gemara, I don't know when Shabbos is. Mone, so what do? I can't just keep going and going and going and assume that I never keep Shabbos. Well, once 7 days passes, I know there has to be a Shabbos summer, but arbitrarily I'm just going to choose, says the Gemara. Yes, arbitrarily you're going to choose, but how do you choose arbitrarily? The Gemara has two opinions. How do we choose which day should be Shabbos? Says the Gemara, opinion number one, Mona Shisha Yamim U'Mishamar Yom Echad. What you do is from the day that you start to recognize, oh, I forgot all about Shabbos, You count 6 days from that day, and then the seventh day, Mishamar Yomecha. Then you keep the seventh day from then, even though it might be Tuesday, still you're going to keep 7 days from now as Shabbos. Chiyav Arav Amar, no, Mishamar Yomecha. Today, you reminded yourself, by the way, there's an idea of Shabbos. So you're going to keep Shabbos today, and then later on, you're going to count 6 days after that, and then you're going to keep Shabbos a week later, even though it might be Wednesday, it might be Thursday, but still, the Gemara has two opinions. Do you keep Shabbos the day you remember, or do you keep Shabbos at the end of the 7 days from the time that you remember? So you'll say, it's a very strange Gemara, this never happens. When was the last time somebody got lost in a desert and had no idea what time it was, and no idea, they had nothing on them to tell them what day of the week it is, and no communication with anybody? It's a strange Gemara. Listen to this. I found this yesterday, 29 pages. You're lucky the source sheet wasn't 29 pages. I would have put the whole thing. It's so amazing. I saw there's a Torah journal from Muncie that comes out a couple times a year. It's a really, for anyone who's interested in like very hot and interesting topics. So usually they're found in the Torah journals. They're not found in like regular Svarim. Usually when someone has a really interesting idea that they want to publish and they want people to read about, so they put it into a Torah journal. So here, there's a very, very nice journal that comes out from Muncie a couple times a year called Or Yisrael. I don't know who puts it out, but it's really excellent. They have a lot of them online. So here they have in Tavshin Samach Gimel. It just happened. It was a big Siyata Deshmaya last night. I happened to come across it. A 29-page article with four Rabbanim who are fighting with each other in a very respectful manner, but killing each other over the fact how they're supposed to decipher the halacha that was posed. There was a rabbi from Florida who posed the following question. And then four Rabbanim attacked each other and were trying to figure out how they're going to answer the question. What was the question? Basically, the whole question revolved around this Gemara. And I'm just bringing it to your attention because it's fascinating. Let's read this paragraph over here on the right side. Behemshech l'sichasenu. So this rabbi in Florida sends, I couldn't even read his name, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, so he sends a letter to these other Rabbanim. One of the Rabbanim that he sent a letter to, I'm not sure if everybody is familiar with him, his name is Rav Levi Yitzchak Halpern, who runs the Machon LeTechnologia in Yerushalayim, in Beit Vegan. He's an amazing person. My father has told me many times that everybody thought, after Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed away, they thought he was going to be the next Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach tackling technological issues. He's a really amazing person. Why he's not known as that, I'm not sure. But he certainly is of that caliber. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So he responded, as we'll see in a few minutes, his paragraph is on the left side. So here we have the question that was posed to him. So the person writes, Behemshech l'sichasenu ha-telefonus mehayom. I phoned you today, and now I just want to follow up on that conversation. Hinini bazeh lichtov be'inin ha-pegisha sheli, it's not made up, I want to inform you about the meeting that I had in Mar Ilan Rimon. Everybody remember him? Right, so Ilan Rimon. Shekerega hu mishtayich lechalalis STS-107. What is that? That was a space shuttle. So Ilan Rimon was an Israeli Jew. I had no idea that he was religious, but it seems that he was, because he comes to this rabbi to discuss the shailas of what he's going to do when he goes up to space. Amazing. So here he says, unless the whole thing's made up, but it seems believable. Shalafi ha-tachnit, no, meaning there were some who wrote about this in theory. What would a person do if they went up to space? Rabbi Bleich, I know, has in tradition, different people have articles, but here, this person is saying that Ilan Rimon actually came into his office to discuss the shaila with him. So he says, Shalafi ha-tachnit tzricha latus lechalal be-27 le-June 2002. So he's supposed to go up to space on the 27th of June 2002. Ma'od hispa'alti visrashamti. I was so overwhelmed when this person came to my office. Mima Rimon. It's a printing mistake. Ubifrat me'ahavasa v'chibasa liyadus ve'eretz Yisrael. This is something I never knew about this astronaut. He loved the Jewish people and he loved Judaism so much. V'hu sachach iti. And he was discussing the issue with me. V'hela es ha'shayla haba elai. And he brings the shayla to me. Now, why is he bringing the shayla to me? Bitur harav harishmi shel tchum NASA. I don't know what that means. Why does NASA have a local rabbi? I don't know, but that's what he says. V'she'lasohi, so here's the shayla. B'nogel ezeh she'aleh lichyos al hachalalus b'shabbos. What's he going to do when he goes up in space? How's he going to keep Shabbos? Ma alay lasos kedei lishmer ha-shabbos u'lefi eza sha'on alay l'leches. Which time clock should I follow? What should I do? Kedei ladaz mani knisos v'yitzias ha-shabbos. So this is the shayla that was posed to the rabbi of NASA. Fascinating. And 29 pages of this Torah journal are spent on trying to answer and decipher the question and figure out what are the issues, when is he supposed to put on tefillin and shake lulav and blow shofar, everything. It's amazing. So here, look at this. Kafi, I think there's another mistake here. Kafi sichasena b'telefon. So, as I told you on the phone, but Shuvasi Elav, I told him right off the cuff, Siparti lo Sipar Admor Azakin, this person must be a Lubavitcher, because he's telling a story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Balatanya, Kishashab, Leningrad. I'm not familiar with that story, but I would imagine those who know stories about the Alter Rebbe probably know this. The Alter Rebbe was somewhere he didn't know exactly when the Shkia was. So I told him, look, the Gemara says if you're in a place and you don't know when Shabbos is, so you count, make a calculation. So he says, I told him, well, today you're taking off on Sunday, so you know that it's going to be Sunday today. So count 24 hours from today, and maybe you'll know that tomorrow is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and 7 days from now, 24 hours later, you're going to know, right? If you keep the count to 24 hours, you're going to know when it's going to be Shabbos. Fascinating. Okay? Look what Reb Levi Yitzchak Halpern writes. I just thought this was amazing. So he writes a long response to him, but look, this was the sharpest part of the whole thing. What are you talking about? How can you say that you should count 24 hours from when he leaves? What's that going to do him any good? This is only applicable to somebody who's stuck in a desert, and now he knows that 24 hours pass, and then it's up to the next day. So that's when you have a right to count 24 hours, and then you keep the count, you keep the count, you know when Shabbos is going to be. That's only somebody who has 30 days in a month. This is only dealing with a regular person who's living by the regular calendar. A calendar has 7 days in the week, has 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year. But when you have a person like this, Mr. Rimon, listen to this, he says, every hour and a half, maybe this is obvious to those who know science, but I didn't know this, every hour and a half over Alav Yom, did you know that? In space, when you're on the spaceship, basically, every hour and a half, you pass another day. Uvim Meshach Ezer Ma'arba Shos, if you do a calculation, what happens if you go, what?
It's not another day, it's another cycle.
Another cycle. So he wants to argue that that's considered another day. So listen, I thought this was brilliant. So every hour and a half, you're crossing another cycle of what we call a day. You're just going at such quick speed, so you happen to have so many days in one day. Uvim Meshach Ezer Ma'arba Shos, so in 24 hours, what are you going to have? Yesh Lo Kvar Shesh Esrei Yom HaBerach. You already have 16 days in what would be a 24-hour period on this world. So in a week, what are you going to have? 16 days times 7, for those who know higher mathematics. When you have a month, you're going to have 16 times 30. He says, according to this, says Rav Halpern, the guy should have to put on tefillin 16 times a day. Because it keeps, right? Because every day is considered a new day for him. He keeps going around another cycle of what we consider a day. Maybe he should have a new chiyuv tefillin every day. Shloshim mishtayim chiyuvi kriyashma. He's going to have to say kriyashma 32 times a day because kriyashma shachas va'arvis. Kimat b'chol yom kishalish pamim Shabbos. He's going to have to keep Shabbos almost 3 times a day. Maybe each time will only be for an hour. U'b'chol esrim yom be'erech. And every 20 days he's going to have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, Pesach. So good luck to you, says this Reb Levi Yitzchak Halpern, and I don't know exactly how to answer the question. And then he gets into the whole discussion, how are we going to explain him what to do? Maybe he should be, once he gets to the, he goes into a discussion, maybe you should wait till he gets over Yerushalayim and start the count from there. These things sound very, very improbable. When you're talking about going at such speed, how can you detect when you're over Yerushalayim, what day it is, what hour it is? It sounds very strange to me, but they go into a whole discussion, maybe we should base our psak on this Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Someone who's stuck in a midbar, he has no idea where he is, no idea what day it is. Maybe you should just be Mona Shisha Yamim and then keep Shabbos, and maybe this guy should do the same, or maybe he should not. So this is a fascinating 29-page discussion for anyone who's interested. I'm happy to send you the whole thing. But I just thought that was a very interesting extrapolation from this very boring Gemara, where the Gemara says, I am a halach b'derech, a case that never comes up, but here you find a case that did come up, and the Shaila was actually presented, what should be done? For your own interest, there's a Shiloh over here as well. I guess we have enough time to look at it, just for a little. A very unfortunate Tshuva Sefer by Rav Ephraim Ashri. He wrote the Shalos HaTshuvos Mimamakim. I'm sure many of us have seen things from there. Those were the questions that were supposedly posed to him in the middle of the Holocaust. He claimed that he was the Rav of one of the ghettos, and then he saved all of his Kisve Yad. There's a lot of historians who question the whole assertion. A lot of them say that it's not true. He wasn't that learned to know everything off the cuff without having svarim. I don't know whether it's true or it's not true. It's very, very interesting and very very sad to read some of these tshuvas. So here he writes a tshuva where he extrapolates another lamdas from this Gemara about Hayim HaHalach B'Derech. And this has nothing to do with how many days you count, but it has to do was something very different. You skip the first paragraph, I'll just speak it out. He says, there was a group of people, and every day they used to have 1,000 people that were asked to go and work on some train stop in Europe somewhere, by one of the ghettos. And the payment for having them go, I didn't know that the Nazis would give payment to those who worked as opposed to those who were doing other things, but the payment they used to give them was some trefa soup. When they got there, they would each be given one bowl of trefa soup, and it was clear that it had all sorts of real trefa in the soup. So they came to Rav Asheri and they asked him, what should we do? Should we eat the soup or should we not? So you'll say, it's pikuach nefesh, so of course you're allowed to eat the soup. So he goes into the question like this. V'tochen she'lasim. Look at the first paragraph on the second side of the page. V'tochen she'lasim who? What exactly was the question that they asked? If you're here from Ma'ariv, it's in the main shul. Mikivan she'achshem enkam pikuach nefesh she'id chesed yisr. Well, right now, it's not a pikuach nefesh. Why right now is it not pikuach nefesh? Because right now they're doing okay. So in a couple of days it will be a pikuach nefesh. If they don't eat today and they don't eat tomorrow and they don't eat the next day, it's going to be a major pikuach nefesh. So right now there is no shi'id chesed iser. Af shela'achar zman yuchlishu, if this keeps continuing to go on, they're going to get weaker and weaker. V'yavoli de sakonos nefashos mikal makom baser hashtaz lidan. The question was, should we go after the situation that's in front of us right now? And if we look at everything that's presented right now, there is no pikuach nefesh that's immediate. Right now, everyone's doing okay. Okay, they're very weak, they're working hard, they're in a concentration camp. But still, they said, perhaps that's not a reason to be docha and iser, because it's really not pikuach nefesh. Hard for me to even understand that, right? It's shocking that they would even present such a question. When you look through this tshuvas mimamakim, each and every tshuva, every single one, is more surprising than the next. Rav Asher Weiss once said to me, you see how they live like Jews, not how they died like Jews. You see the way that they walked around with pride to follow the halacha in such a time, and they were able to ask such questions that we would never even think of asking. But over here, this was the question that they had. So you skip to the next paragraph, and he says, "Uvetoch hadvarim kasav amnam adayin yecholim anu lahavi raya linidon dindan." Maybe we could bring a proof to our halacha that we're discussing over here. Is this considered a pikuach nefesh? Because later on, in another couple of days, it's going to turn into a pikuach nefesh if we keep going like this. So he says, how can you bring a proof from our Gemara? He says, because the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, I'm a halach by midbar ve'eni yodea eze emasai Shabbos. Somebody is going in the midbar, he doesn't know when Shabbos is. Mona shisha yamim u'mashamar yom echad. So what do? The Gemara has two opinions. Should you either keep Shabbos today and then wait 6 days, or should you wait 6 days and then keep Shabbos afterward? That's the question the Gemara has. Amar Rava, b'chol yom v'yom osalo k'day panasasim. Bar me'ahu yuma. Whichever Manda Amr you assume like. Either you assume that you keep Shabbos today or you keep Shabbos in the end of the 7 days, but either way, you're allowed to do Kedei Parnasaso every day. You're allowed to make sure to sustain yourself every single day of the week, except for that day that you decided is Shabbos, whether it's going to be today or in 7 days, but that day you're not allowed to do anything for yourself. Ask the Gemara, Parchinan, Fahu Yom Alemus? What do you mean? I shouldn't take care of myself that day? I should die? What do you mean I shouldn't take care of myself? I shouldn't eat anything? I can't do malacha? I'm supposed to survive. I'm in the middle of the midbar. Elo says the Gemara, no. Kol yom v'yom osalo parnasaso afilo ahu yom, says the Gemara. Even whenever you decide Shabbos is going to be, whether it's going to be today or it's going to be at the end of the 7 days, either way, says the Gemara, you're allowed to do malacha every single one of those days. Why? Because it's pikuach nefesh. You got to get yourself out of the midbar. You have to make sure to take care of yourself and whatever it takes to get you out. Ask the Gemara if that's true. So what does it mean? What's the relevance that today is Shabbos? What are you doing to show that today is Shabbos? It's the same as every other day. I'm doing my work. I'm picking trees. I'm picking apples off a tree. I'm doing all sorts of malachos. How do I show today? Shabbos, so he says, b'kiddush v'avdalta. You make kiddush on avdal. How do you make kiddush on avdal in the midbar when you don't have anything? I don't know. It's also an interesting question. Fine. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes this la'alacha and says, if a person is stuck in the midbar, so he's if he has enough food and he doesn't have to do any malacha, so don't do any malacha. However, if he doesn't have, obviously he's going to be mechal Shabbos. And the Achronim over there have a discussion. What if right now it's not a pikuach nefesh? He can survive the next 24 hours without doing any malacha. But if he continues like this, it might take him longer to get himself out of the midbar. It might end up weakening him, and then he might be stuck for longer. He might ultimately lose his life. So the Achronim have a discussion, what's the halacha in a case like that? Well, there's no immediate pikuach nefesh right in front of us right now. Right now, he can last the next 24 hours. But why are you looking with your face in the ground? Why don't you look at the bigger perspective? If he's not going to do malacha today, if he's not going to take care of himself today, then another 2-3 days it's going to be a sakonos nefashos. So you can't, that's the discussion over there. So he wanted to extrapolate from the sugya a very different halacha, and that is, that perhaps when it comes to our sugya as well, to our unfortunate question, when you have these people who wanted to know about eating the treifa soup, even though the pikuach nefesh is not bifnehem right then when they ask the question, but perhaps you have to look at the overall perspective, at the bigger picture, and understand that if later on it's going to cause a problem, you have to keep that in mind as well and consider it a pikuach nefesh right now at the moment that we stand right now. So that's with regard to that Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara over here has two opinions. So what do you do? The Gemara says either when you have mahalach baderech and you're not sure when Shabbos is, either you keep Shabbos today and you're mona shisha yamim after that, or you're mona shisha yamim from today and then you keep Shabbos at the end of the 7 days. Says the Gemara. Let's look at the next number. Hey, b'mai kama fligi. What exactly is the crux of the issue here? What are they arguing about? Should I keep Shabbos today and then count 6 days? Or should I keep Shabbos at the end of the 6 days that I count? What's the difference? Says the Gemara as follows. Mar sabar ki biyasu shalolam, umar sabar ka adam harishon. What does it mean? There are two ideas in our keeping Shabbos. There are two ways, two alpi hashkafa, there are two things that we're supposed to keep in mind, two objectives that we have whenever we keep Shabbos. One is ki biyasu shalolam. One is that we're supposed to be like God himself. How did he create the world? He had 6 days of creation, and then on the seventh day he rested. So that's why one mandamer says, well, Shabbos is supposed to be like Bria Sa'olam, and therefore, since Shabbos is supposed to remind us of the way the world was created, we count 6 days, and then we keep Shabbos. That's the same way that God did it. However, the other mandamer says, no, Shabbos is Ka'adam HaRishon. What does it mean like Adam HaRishon? When was Adam HaRishon created? Erev Shabbos, the first day of his life. Right away he was created, Ben Ashmashos, I think, right, very close to the end of a Friday afternoon, right away, he goes into a Shabbos. So the other mandamer says, no, the objective of Shabbos is not to remind us of Bria Sa'olam, the objective of Shabbos is to remind us of the experience of Adam HaRishon. And what was that experience? That the first day of his life, he had a Shabbos, and that brought him through the rest of the week, the 6 days afterwards. So that's what the Gemara says, this is what the Machlokas is all about, that Shabbos represents two very important perspectives. I just want to talk about this for a minute, because I think that it's a very important point the Gemara is making. The Gemara again tells us, there are two very unique and very important perspectives that Shabbos should give us, that we're supposed to think about every time we keep a Shabbos. One is, again, Zechel Ma'aseh Bereishis, and one is Zechel Adam HaRishon. What exactly does that mean? So Zechel Ma'aseh Bereishis means, you take, for example, we have in Parshas Yisro, Sheishas Yamim Tavud Va'asisa Kol Melachtecha, famous pasuk. So Rashi says over there, what do you mean Va'asisa Kol Melachtecha? I can't do all of my work, I can always invest a little bit more money, I could always close on another property, I could always do something. So what does it mean? Asisa kol melachtecha, I have to do everything that I can ever think and dream of doing. How does that make sense? Rashi says, no. What it means is, you should make it ki'ilu kol melachtecha asui. The Mefarshim explain, what does that mean? Rashi's coming to tell us, what do you mean? You should make it as if all your work is done. Like, I'm not going to go to work next week? Of course I'm going to go to work next week. So what does it mean? Mefarshim explain, what it means is as follows. Rashi's teaching us that when Shabbos comes, a person has to think about the fact that all of my work is done because all of the parnasa that I get is in God's hands anyway. I think I make a parnasa because I work hard. It's not true. I make a parnasa because the Ribbono Shel'olam decided I'm going to have money. Or the Ribbono Shel'olam decided I'm going to struggle to make money. And it doesn't matter how hard or how loosely I take my work schedule. Either way, I'm going to get the same thing and everything's beyond Hashem. So Shabbos is the time for us to remind ourselves that kol melachtecha asui. That's what it means. Shabbos like Ma'aseh Bereishis. We should remind ourselves, take stock at the end of the week, that the same way there was a creation for 6 days and then God rested and everything fell in its place, so too we should remind ourselves, take stock at the end of a work week, when you think that you've accomplished so much and you think that you're the reason why you're so successful, remind yourself every week, that's the perspective that Shabbos should give you. Remind yourself that all those 6 days that you worked hard had nothing to do with you. Everything you accomplished then was all in God's hands. That's what it says, Va'asisa kol melachtecha ki'ilu kol melachtecha asui. It's as if God is doing everything for you. You really are just doing your little hishtadlus, but really, in essence, it doesn't have anything to do with you. And perspective number two of Shabbos is the Shabbos of Adam HaRishon. The Ramban writes on Chumash that there's a mitzvah saseh, when we say Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos at the end of Davening, the Ramban suggests that maybe that's a mitzvah saseh d'araisa, to say every day, I am now 1 day away from Shabbos, I'm 2 days away from Shabbos. What does that mean? What it means is that Shabbos should be the launching pad for the rest of the week. Shabbos is a Yom Kaddish. That's the way Adam HaRishon started off his life. He started off his life with Kedusha. He had a day of Shabbos to rest, to contemplate about Ruchnias, to think about all of his relationship with God. And that's what we're supposed to think about at the beginning of our week and infuse the rest of the week with that experience. We're supposed to take that with us like Adam HaRishon. Those are the two perspectives that the Gemara gives us when we talk about Shabbos, either Mona Shisha Yamim Umekadesh, Or you have Mekadesh today and then you're Mona Shisha Yam. Why? Because we have two very different outlooks when we think about Shabbos. Number one, we should think about the fact that God created the world and does everything for us. And number two, we should think about the fact on the flip side that Adam HaRishon has the opportunity to have the first day of his week being Kaddish, and he's supposed to take that into everything else that he accomplishes throughout the rest of the week. So we began with the Gemara that told us that Lamates Avos Malachos are learned from the building of the Mishkan. Now we went into another Gemara which seems to tell us that it's based on Briyas HaOlam. So how do you reconcile? What exactly is it? So what's interesting is that you look in Parshas Vayakel and then again in Parshas Kisisa. And we have, Rashi tells us there's a reason why Shabbos and Malachos HaMishkan were put one next to the other, because we're supposed to learn the Halachos of Shabbos from the Mishkan. But there's one major difference for those who are Bali Kriya in the room. The major difference is, where is Shabbos placed in both of those Parshios? Anybody know? So it's very different. When it comes to Parshas Vayakel, the Tzivoy of Shabbos comes before the Tzivoy to make a Mishkan. And when you look in Parshas Kisisa, the Tzivoy of building the Mishkan comes before the Malacha of Shabbos. And some of Farshim are bothered. I don't understand. Yes, we know that there's supposed to be a connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan, but how come in one Parsha comes before and another Parsha comes afterward? What's that about? So the Shem Yishmol writes, the son of the Avnei Nezer, he writes an amazing insight. You know why? Because we have two aspects, two perspectives we should think about on Shabbos. One is that Shabbos is Tchilas HaShavua, and one is that Shabbos is Sof HaShavua. There's two very different perspectives we're supposed to have, and that's what the Gemara, that's what the Pesukim are coming to teach us. That Shabbos on the one hand is like the way God created the world, that Shabbos is Sof HaShavua. At the end of the week, we should take stock of everything we've done and recognize the fact that it's all B'yad Hashem and nothing is really ourselves. But at the same time, Shabbos is also Tchilas HaShavua. Shabbos is the opportunity to understand that Adam HaRishon takes that day of Kedusha and infuses it into every day going forward. So this is, says the Shem Yishmol, that's what it's all about. I think the connection between these two things of Shabbos being connected to the Mishkan and being connected to Briyas HaOlam is so obvious. And there are many who point out that there are very similar Lashonos that are used by Briyas HaOlam and by the Binyan HaMishkan. I'm not a major Tanachist, but if you look carefully in the Psukim, you'll find there are many similarities between the phrases that are used in Parshas Bereishis and in Parshas Vayakel Kisisa when the Mishkan was created. But basically the idea is that we have this opportunity on Shabbos to infuse the world with the Kedusha. The same way God infused the world with His essence, with His presence in the Sheshes and Bereishis, and then He gave us Shabbos, so too we have that opportunity to also to build, to create, to make something meaningful out of all the 6 days of the week that we have the privilege to live. That's what Shabbos is really supposed to do. The same way Binyan HaMishkan gave us that opportunity to do it as well. So I'll call upon him. What you find is, the Gemara says that we learn. Whether you learn, Shabbos is before the Mishkan, Shabbos is after the Mishkan. What we understand is that the Lamates Avos Malachos are learned, certainly from the Parsha of Binyan HaMishkan. And the Eglei Tal, who is the Avnei Nezer, he has a Sefer on Masechah Shabbos, on Hilchah Shabbos. He has the following question. What part of the Mishkan do we learn all of the Hilchah Shabbos from? Do we learn it from the Binyan HaMishkan? Do we learn it from the fact that the Mishkan was, these malachas were necessary to build, to erect, to construct the Mishkan? Or do we learn it from Avodas HaMishkan? Do we learn it from the daily activity that was done each and every day in the Mishkan? Now this is a very important machlokas. He has many nafkaminas. We're not going to go through all of them. I'll point out one at the end. But let's just try and understand the machlokas for a couple of minutes. Let's see. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, this is number Vav. Ein Chayavin, says the Gemara, Ein Chayavin Ela Al HaMalacha, the Gemara is laying down the rule that you're only going to be chayiv for malacha on Shabbos if there was a similar malacha that was done in the Mishkan. Now the Gemara doesn't say what part of the Mishkan. It doesn't say a malacha that was done on the daily activity of the Mishkan or a malacha that was done as they were constructing the Mishkan. That's exactly the question. So here he says the Gemara, Heim zaru v'atem lo tizru. They were planting in the times of the Mishkan, therefore you are not allowed to plant. Hain cuts through, they cut down in the times of the building of the Mishkan, and therefore Atem lo tiktzru, you are not allowed to cut down. Says Rashi, what does it mean? When did they plant and when did they cut down? What is that referring to? So what would you have said? What would you have said? I'd be embarrassed. What would you have said? What does it mean? In the Mishkan they were planting and cutting, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. I would have said, what? Avodas HaMishkan. Every day you have to bring a menachos. You have to bring all sorts of things, and you have to chop down the wheat and all the flour and all sorts of things. You have to chop down wood to put onto the Mizbeach. I would have said it's Avodas HaMishkan. Rashi goes out of his way to explain, no, that's not what the Gemara means. Says Rashi as follows. Heim Zarev Katsru, what did they cut and what did they plant? Samanim Litzvoa tcheles va'oros eilim. Says Rashi. He goes out of his way to explain, not like we would have said. Rashi says, what did they do here? They were cutting and planting all of the incense that they planted into the ground, all of the different, whatever you call it, the all the different herbs, all the different plants that they needed in order to dye the covers, the curtains that were necessary to build the Mishkan. So Rashi goes out of his way. What you say clearly, says the Avnei Nezer, what you see from here is, Rashi is of the opinion, of the understanding, that what we learn from the Mishkan is from the building of the Mishkan. And that's why Rashi goes out of his way when the Gemara tells us that Heim Zaru, they planted and they cut, and therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, says Rashi. When did they plant? When did they cut? They planted and cut at the time that they were trying to get the herbs to dye the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash. Then you look a little further. Let's turn to the next side. Says the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Daled. Now this is a very interesting machlokas that seems to keep popping up in many different places. Rashi writes over here as well. We have a melach of Ofer. You're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. So what would you have said? Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa. Shabbat Tana Didan Bishul Samamanim Dehavid Bamishkan. V'Naked Ofer. I don't understand. Why does the Gemara say the melacha is Ofer? The melacha is to bake. Why don't you say, ask the Gemara, that the melacha is to cook the herbs? Why would you have said that? Why would you have said that? So Rashi explains. Let's look at, skip down three lines. Rashi says, Kalashim Rashi b'mishnah ha'ofer. Lo hava b'mishkan de lo shayach el b'pas. Ofer is something, the Gemara's question is, well, you only bake something when you're talking about avodas ha'mishkan, says Rashi. The Gemara wants to know, why do you count ofer in one of the lamites avos melachos? We know they didn't bake anything in order to construct the Mishkan. So Rashi, again, he's recurrent on his theme, that we assume, Rashi says, everything from the Mishkan is learned from the construction of the Mishkan, not from the daily activity that was done in the Mishkan. So that's number two. The Meiri writes very explicitly. Look at number ten. Mikamakam afielo haisam mishkan. Shein afielo bepas upas lo hayotzarach lemelachas hamishkan. Ask the Meiri. Va'al tishiveni lechem apanim. What do you mean there was no baking in the Mishkan? Of course there was baking in the Mishkan. How do you think they made the lechem apanim? Of course they used to bake in the Mishkan in order to create the lechem apanim. He says no. Shein akavana b'masha nasa sham acher hashlamas binin hamishkan. The Meiri speaks it out. He says, when we say that we learn from Melachas HaMishkan, it doesn't mean that we learn from all of the avodah that was done later in the Mishkan. Ela, mashanasa shamba ocha hayubonanoso. We learn from that which was done as they were constructing the Mishkan itself. Avakal shar hamanuyos hayuba mishkan misimanim shel tsevat cheles varagamon. So the Meiri writes this already very explicitly. The Avnei Nezer, uncharacteristically here, quotes from his son, the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel was a Chassidish Rebbe. Avnei Nezer was also a Chassidish Rebbe. But here, he says that his son gave him a very interesting proof. You look at number 8. The Gemara asks a question, and we're not sure. Shochen Ema Mechayiv. If I go and I shecht an animal on Shabbos, not a carbon. I go and shecht an animal on Shabbos. Am I Mechayiv? Why am I going to be Chayiv? What violation did I just violate by shechting an animal on Shabbos? And the Gemara says, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Ask the Shem Yishmuel, what do you mean? Shochen Ema Mechayiv. Of course you're going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv because in the Beis HaMikdash they used to sit and shecht karbonos all day long. So, if that's an avodah that they did in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash, then that's something that we're going to learn to Hilchos Shabbos also. What's the Gemara wondering? Shochet amai mechayiv. And you know what the conclusion is? The Gemara says, oh, you know why you're going to be chayiv for shechita on Shabbos? Because of tzoveya. What's a tzoveya? Because when you shecht the animal nevach, the blood is going to come out and it's going to make it turn a different color. So that's like tzoveya. That's like dyeing something and making another color. You have to stand on your head to come up with a malach of tzoveya. Why don't you just say, shochet is chayiv, because that's what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. Easy, simple. Answers the Shem Yishmuel. You see, like Rashi, that we don't learn from the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash proper. We learn from the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the construction of the Mishkan. And that, he says, you see clearly from this Gemara's question of shochet amai mechayiv. So, this is interesting, that you see from Rashi that it has to be... You see from Rashi that it has to be something that was part of the construction of the Mishkan itself. The Avnei Nezer then quotes from the son of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, who quoted, not his own opinion, he quoted from Rav Haigon, and Rav Haigon disagreed. We're not going to read it inside, you can read it on your own. That is over here, number Yud Aleph, where I brought Rav Haigon's entire tshuva. Nowadays we have the tshuvas Hagaonim, where they quoted exactly the tshuva that Rav Haigon wrote, where he very strongly disagrees with Rashi, and he says no. Why does Rashi go out of his way to say that we learn the Lamites Avos Melachos from the fact that in the Mishkan they constructed it in a certain way? Why don't you just say simple? The reason why we learn Lama Tesavas Malachos is because there were ways that they construct in the Mishkan, there were ways that they did Avodah in the Mishkan, and everything that's included in that is included in the Lama Tesavas Malachos. That is the opinion of Rav Haigon. So you say, what's the difference? What's the difference? So you learn it from this, you learn it from that. So one major difference, there are many major differences that the Avnei Nezer toys with, but one major difference will be as follows. One major difference will be as follows. Take for example, the Rambam writes, let's just skip ahead, we're running out of time, the Rambam writes on the last side, the Rambam writes as follows. We have malachas on Shabbos, some are avos malachas and some are toldos. And the Rambam is going to ask the million-dollar question. Says the Rambam, Echad ha'ose av me avos malachas, whether you violate, whether you transgress, an av malacha, one of the 39. O toldo min ha'toldos b'mezid, if you do it on purpose and you have asra, chayiv karis. V'imbo edim niskal, if the edim come and prosecute you, you're not only chayiv karis, you're also going to get skila. Imkain asked the Rambam, million-dollar question. If you're going to be chayv, skila, and kares, whether you violate an av or a toldo, so then what in the world is the difference between these two categories? What does it matter if you violate an av, a primary category, or a toldo, just a subset of an av? What's the difference? If they're the same thing, same punishment, same edim, same hasra, so what's the difference, says the Rambam? Here's the difference. Im kein ma hefresh yesh bein av l'toldo, says the Rambam, you're right, ein beinayim hefresh, there is no difference, ela, there's one difference, ela le'inyin karban belvat. The only difference is if you violate Hilchos Shabbos, and now you have to do it, you did it b'shogeg, so you have to bring a karban. Says the Rambam, ha'osa b'shogeg im asa avos rabos behelem echad. Let's say I violate many of the avos malachos without realizing that today is Shabbos. Chayiv chatas ha'kol achas v'achas. You're going to be chayiv chatas on each and every one. V'im asa av toldosav behelem echad. Let's say I violate an av and a tolda. And now all of a sudden I wake up and I realize that Shabbos, so you're only going to be chayiv one karban. Okay, the Rambam came up with some far-fetched nafkamina. That's the way we understand the difference between an av and a tolda. But bottom line is we understand that there's a difference between that major category of lama tes avos malachos and the secondary categories that we learn out from the avos, which are only tolda. Says the Eglei Tal. So what's the halacha? We all know, we were brought up, that you're not allowed to squeeze out grapes on Shabbos. Shechita, right? There's a malacha of shechita. And it comes up when, you know, we have yontif and people are afraid of taking showers, the shechita, all those things. But he says the Rambam, the original halacha of not squeezing out grapes on Shabbos, is that an av malacha or a tolda? You say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, the Rambam told us, there is a major difference. What kind of carbon are you going to have to bring? So I want to know, asked the Rambam, this malacha of shechita, squeezing out a grape, are you going to be in violation of an av malacha? Or is that only going to be a tolda? That's the question that the Eglei Tal raises. Well, says the Eglei Tal, Rashi writes clearly on Masechah Shabbos Kuf Mem Gimel that if you squeeze out a grape on Shabbos, you violated a malacha on Shabbos, but it was only a tolda. It was only a tolda. Why is that? Why is that? Because if you've been following, Rashi was of the opinion that we learn only from the binyan, the construction of the Mishkan. So therefore, did they have to squeeze any grapes in order to construct the Mishkan? No! So therefore he says, yes, and it's an extrapolation. Maybe they had to squeeze out, the hides, or maybe they had to squeeze out other things, but they didn't have to squeeze out any fruits, so therefore you can extrapolate that this is going to be a secondary category malacha, but it's not going to be enough, Rashi says, because this is not something that they actually did when they constructed the Mishkan per se. As says the Eglei Tal, however, of Haigon, who disagreed with Rashi and said, no, you don't stop just where they constructed the Mishkan, you take it much further. You say that we also learn from all the Avodah, from everything that was done in the Mishkan every single day of the year. What do you mean? Every day of the year, they were squeezing out grapes in order to make wine for the Nisach HaYayin. They were doing all sorts of things. They were squeezing things all the time in order to have a functioning Beis HaMikdash. Says the Eglei Tal, will make a major nafkamina, let's say by Shechita, and he brings many other examples where you find this coming up again. We'll make a major nafkamina whether or not we assume schitas zeisim va'anavim, to squeeze out grapes and get the juice out, is that considered a av melacha per se? Or is that only an extrapolation? Is it only a secondary category? Is that only considered a tolda? So that's a fascinating discussion that the Eglei Tal has. Let's just recap where we went this evening. We started off that the lamites avos melachas are keneged the avodas hamishkan. That's the Gemara in Shabbos, daf mem tesem ad beis. The Gemara says that clearly. We had the opinion of Shimon ben Lekunya, which seems to say, no, we don't learn it from the Mishkan, we learn it from the fact that the Torah says, the Lashon Malacha, Malachas, Malachto, But the Rishonim right over there, that whether you hold like Malacha Malachto or whether you learn that we learn it from the Mishkan, everyone agrees that ultimately it's learned from the Mishkan itself. We spoke about the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Tes, where the Gemara says someone who's Mahalach Baderech and he doesn't know exactly when Shabbos is, so we had a Machlokas, do you either count from the day that you are, do you count 6 days and then keep Shabbos, or do you keep Shabbos today and then count 6 days after that? That was a machlokas. The Gemara says, what exactly is the crux of the issue? The question is Shabbos supposed to be like Brias HaOlam, the way God created the world? Is Shabbos supposed to be a commemoration of the way Adam HaRishon lived his life? And the major difference between those is, are you supposed to have Shabbos as a day of recollection to think about the fact that I had a whole week of success, and really all of my success was due to God himself and had nothing to do with me? Or is Shabbos supposed to be the second element that Adam HaRishon had, and that was that the first day of his life was infused with Kedusha, and he was supposed to take that further and bring that Kedusha and bring all of that sanctity into his experience for the rest of the week? And then we spoke about the important idea that there are two places that we can learn the Malachos of the Mishkan in order to extrapolate from that the Malachos Shabbos. Again, the Avnei Nezer points out in his Sefer Eglei Tal that either you say like Rashi, and Rashi again takes away from the simple understanding of so many Gemaras. Rashi always has to stand on his head to explain that the Lamed Tes Avos Malachos were not learned from the Avoda, the daily service that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, rather they were learned from the construction of the Mishkan. And Rav Haigon, on the other hand, is of the opinion that we learn it out from the day-to-day activity that took place in the Mishkan, and because of that, the Avnei Nezer suggests that there will be many nafkaminas lahalacha when we talk about the different malachas, whether something will be an ab or something will be a toda. And Mirtz Hashem, we will continue next week with whatever people want, Hilchos Shabbos or something else.